I want to start out with a little story. On August 30th, 1858, in Wismar, Germany, a boy was born out of wedlock to William Stegmann and Frederica Brenner. They named him William Carl Stegmann. When he was 8 years old, his father, a sailor, died in a shipwreck on his voyage back to Germany. Years later, after the Franco-Prussian War, Germany continued to enlist young men for military service, and William would soon be drafted. However, a man named Frederick came to the family with a plan to emigrate to America. On the day before his 15th birthday, William left Germany with Frederick, his mother, and his two younger brothers on a ship bound for the New World. They traveled across this new land and eventually settled in southern Wisconsin. Although the two younger boys always kept their late father's last name, William Carl Stegmann wanted to thank Frederick, the man who snuck him out of Germany, by adopting Frederick's surname as his own. Soon after, William got married to a young woman named Sarah, and the two moved over 100 miles north, started farming, and began raising a family under the last name Richoff. Why do I tell this story? Because to me, there is a lot more to my last name than 9 letters that are now pronounced very un-German. It should be Rykoff. But within my last name is a story of heartache, adventure, and gratitude. Within my last name is a story of God's grace through a man named Frederick, who helped a family start a new life in America and avoid the economic panic that was plaguing much of Europe. Within my last name is a story of adoption and identity that my great-great-grandfather experienced, and I want that story to live on and inspire my children. This morning we will be considering another name and the importance behind it as well. So, if you guys have not yet turned to Exodus 20, you can turn there now. And we're just going to recap. We're going to keep doing this recap every week. What's the context of what we're reading in the Ten Commandments? Remember, Yahweh God has just rescued the Hebrew people from their bondage in Egypt. And we have a few million people set free from slavery, but they're not living free. They're still lying and stealing and worshiping foreign gods. They needed boundaries in order to experience spiritual freedom. Now the Lord God and the nation of Israel are meeting at Mount Sinai and making a covenant with one another. Yahweh God has called the nation of Israel to himself and tells them if they will obey his commandments, they will be his treasured possession and experience incredible promises and blessings. And the people agree to this. And God gives them over 600 laws, but sums them up in 10, which we call the 10 commandments. And we've already looked at the first two commandments the last couple weeks. You shall have no other gods before me. This addresses who they are to worship. And the second commandment, you shall not make yourself any idols, addresses how they are to worship. And this morning we're going to read the third commandment in Exodus 20, verse 7. And it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So what does it mean to take God's name in vain? To be used in this sense, vain means empty, worthless, or to no good purpose. Let me give you some examples using other people's names. So what if I started using phrases like, oh my Phoebe, can you believe that? Or Phoebe West, that hurt. You would probably say that sounds silly to use the name of a wonderful person as an exclamation or a curse word. Right? Right, Phoebe? Yes. Or what if I said, Randy told me to leave my family and pursue a career in professional gambling? All of a sudden, Randy's character and name are now called into question based on this false advice. He would probably say, I would never tell you to do that. That goes against who I am and what I believe. Do you guys understand what it means to take someone's name in vain? You're using it in an empty or false way. So when I was younger, I thought this commandment simply meant never to use the phrase, oh my God. And I thought I was pretty righteous because I cannot remember ever muttering this phrase my entire childhood. I said, oh my gosh, instead. Flippantly using the phrase, oh my God, flippantly using the phrase, oh my God, does violate the third commandment. However, I think I was missing the magnitude of this command. So let's look at Exodus 3, where God first speaks his personal covenant name with Moses. Okay, remember we said God's personal covenant name, when you see the Lord written in all caps in the Bible, that's the author using God's personal name, Yahweh. He wants you to know Yahweh. That's God's covenant name with his people. So I would encourage you guys to train yourself as you're reading the scripture. Whenever you see the Lord written in all caps, just say in your mind, Yahweh. It'll help you understand. This is when it's using God's covenant name. So the Lord is calling Moses to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrews be released from their enslavement. And it says in Exodus 3, verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to this people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So God's covenant name, Yahweh, is connected to the Hebrew verb to be. Think about this carefully. If God's personal name, Yahweh, is connected with the verb I am or to be, that means God has never had a beginning. God will never end. He is completely independent. All creation depends on him. He is constant and he is most important. His name is so much more than a word. In Exodus 33, before Moses climbs down from Mount Sinai, he asks God to show him his glory. Now listen to what happened. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And Yahweh said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So this sounds like a little bit of a weird story, but Moses wants to see God's glory, and all God's going to do is speak his name. And he's going to put Moses into a little crack of a big rock and cover him with his hand as he speaks his name, because Moses can't handle to see God's face and live. But God's going to speak this name, and we're going to see what happens. In verses 6 and 7, God does exactly what he told Moses he would do. And listen to what God has packed into his name. Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. His name is so much more than a word. You hear everything that's packed into that name. And I just love the ending of this story. We're not going to read it, but when Moses comes down from the mountain, all Moses got to see is God's tail, basically, the jet stream behind him, because he couldn't handle seeing his face. But when Moses comes down from the mountain, just from that experience, he's glowing and the people are terrified. All because God covered him and spoke his name. And as you continue reading the Old Testament and the New Testament, you will see over and over the emphasis on God's name. Leviticus 19:12. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am Yahweh. Leviticus 24:16. Whoever blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death. Psalm 8:1. O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 29:2. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Malachi 1:11. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. Matthew 6:9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Acts 4:12. There is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Philippians 2:9-10. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. These are just a few examples. We could be here all day if we referenced every verse that talked about God's name. God's name has to do with the worship he deserves. If people do not honor his name and his character, which is packed into his name, they will have no salvation, purpose, identity, or joy. So are we supposed to avoid the name of God? That sounds like a safe thing to do, doesn't it? But his name, Yahweh, appears over 7,000 times in the Old Testament alone. So I don't think we need to avoid it. We cannot misuse it. And we can see how important this commandment is to God and why he gave it to the nation of Israel, but how might it apply to us today? Theologian and pastor Kevin DeYoung says we violate the third commandment when we take up the name of God in service of what is false, what is frivolous, or what is phony. To take up the name of God in a false way could mean attaching God's name to lies or half-truths, saying, I swear to God, calling God's works or character into question, and throwing around phrases like, God told me to blank, or God told me to tell you blank. We must be very careful not to use God's name to advance an agenda. God has already revealed what he needs to say in his word, and the Holy Spirit can and will continue to lead us, but that is different from the authoritative word of God. To take up the name of God in a frivolous way could mean praying with empty phrases or religious talk, having sloppy prayers with no reverence to get to mealtime quicker, using his name as a curse word, using his name as a means to make money or gain fame, telling jokes about God, or simply using phrases like, oh my God, oh Lord, or texting the letters OMG. To take up the name of God in a phony way is to live our lives in a way that does not reflect the name we profess. If we have been called by God's name to faith in Christ and are adopted into his family, we must not live in a way that profanes our new identity. Jesus addressed this in Matthew 15, 8 and 9 when he said to the Pharisees, "You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" When we use God's name in false, frivolous, or phony ways, we are not only misusing his name, but the character of God the name represents. And if you guys are like me, you violated the third commandment in many ways. And we cannot live up to God's standard without the perfect law keeper, Jesus. When we abide in Jesus in faith and love, he promises that we will produce fruit. And that fruit will be obedience in obeying the third commandment. That fruit will be living our lives in a way that honors our one true God in the way he wants to be worshiped. I want to end by reading Colossians 3:17. And I would encourage all of us to memorize this week. "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him." So think about that. Worship is so much more than what we're doing right now. Worshiping Yahweh God happens Sunday through Saturday, 24/7, 365, as the years go on. Our lives should be all about worship. Why? Because God deserves it. He alone deserves all of our worship. And when we think what's packed into his name, aren't we grateful for that? Don't we love that? Doesn't that cause us to worship? That there's a God so merciful and gracious that he extends love to thousands and thousands and thousands over the generations? Doesn't that cause us to worship? Shouldn't that be our response? But yet, how quickly we are to chase after idols, or to live in a way that misrepresents the name by which we are called, or to use God's name so flippantly in our speech. So I want us to all take a minute to repent of the ways we have sinned against Yahweh by taking his name in vain. I want us to be a church that loves to repent before our good and holy God. Because when we find repentance there, we also find forgiveness there and purpose there. And he will work in us and through us to advance his kingdom for his worship and his glory. Amen. So let's take a moment to repent of the ways we've violated the third commandment.